excited about getting here. Been excited for several weeks. I did enjoy the time that we set aside for family, and we really did set that time aside for family. We're taking 1 week off. I know because of the snow, we had to revamp our Christmas service, and that actually went very well. But it was really nice being able to focus on family and really get close to them. And that's what we want to be. We don't want to be people who regret that we didn't spend enough time with our loved ones. We didn't show the love we needed to show. So we really focus on that, make that a core value in our life as followers of Jesus Christ here at Westbridge Community Church. I don't think that I have seen a more desired or more anticipated New Year's celebration than the one we experienced just 44 short hours ago. Without question, 2020 was a year for the ages. I have heard a particular statement twice in my lifetime that gave me the exact same tremendous pause. This one statement, I only heard it twice, but it made me pause both times I heard it. The first time I heard it, it was used after the Twin Towers fell on 9/11. We were told, at least I heard, the world as we know it will never be the same again. That's what was said. And I got to tell you, I am reminded and kind of see that truth in force every time I go to an airport to try to get on a plane. I say, wow, the world as we knew it really has changed. It didn't stay the same. The second time that I heard that statement was last March, just last March. And I heard, the world as we know it will not be the same after the COVID crisis is over. And it is without question that we are all seeking the prophetic truth of that statement. We learned a lot about who people are, haven't we, and how each of us handle crisis. We learned that. We saw, unfortunately, we saw a loss of life in that time. We saw a loss of employment. We saw a loss of income. We all saw a loss of freedom, and for some, experienced a loss of confidence, a lack of insurance, a loss of values, a loss in their trust, and even in their hope. But what I believe got missed in the whole event, that whole trying event, is what God has said to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. God wrote this through Peter. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though we must endure many trials for a little while. Now, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Now when the Bible, gang, when the Bible talks about the testing of our faith, that's a kind of a churchy phrase, right? It's in the Bible. It's testing of our faith. It is talking about looking at your spiritual strength, where you're at, and also with the intention of not just kind of marking it, evaluating it, but of improving it. We're looking to improve it, grow our faith, grow our strength in God, stretch us spiritually. We head into 2021 on the tail end, really, of a major testing of our faith. 1 Peter tells us that it is a time of refinement, fine-tuning. James states this in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, there it is again, testing our faith. When our faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. God followers, we must understand and get our hands firmly around this truth. The truth is this: the most important thing in your life, the most important thing faith in Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing in your life. Your trust in him, your belief in him. We just read, your faith is more precious than gold. And by passing the test, it gives praise and glory and honor to God. So, tonight, where I normally would be looking forward into the new year of 2021 and looking at what God is showing us on this blank canvas, this blank sheet of paper of what's ahead, instead, I believe, before we do that, we have to look back. We have to look back because God wants to teach us and he wants to show us from 2020's testing of our faith what he wants us to learn. 2020 was no accident, guys. God was surprised by it. God didn't get, wow, look at that. I wasn't seeing that. No! God used it. And he used it so that change would happen. And it did, didn't it? Things changed. Dan, consider this. We pray all the time. We constantly pray for God to grow us, don't we? We constantly pray and continually make the request for God to make us more like him. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to love like you love. I want to be humble like you were. I want to have your purity. I want to have your holiness. I want to think the way you think. That's what we pray for, right? We beseech God, asking him to give us his heart so we feel and act and see things the way he does. And we ask him to make that new belief, that new strength in us, help that be contagious so that when others see it, they'll want it. Well, if that's what we've been asking God for, then last year served as a gigantic answer to that prayer. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and when we run into trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And strength of character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Soldiers, God's focus in trials, what we just went through, God's focus is all about our personal faith growing. That means 2020 was all about God challenging us. According to the scriptures, we just read them, it was all about God shaking us up. It was all about God enlightening us to new things, showing us something we wouldn't have seen otherwise. It was all about God warning us, God teaching us, stretching us, moving us, growing us, and strengthening us. Soldiers of Jesus Christ, 2020 should have made us wiser. 2020 should have made us more spiritually smart. 2020 should have made us more insightful in our relationship with God. And friends, those lessons are gold, according to the Bible. Gold, that is, if you identify those precious lessons and learn from them. That's what we're going to do tonight. We are going to look at what God showed us and taught us as he tested our faith in 2020 in the refining fire of 2020. So hang on. So here we go. You ready? Number one, lesson one, we must coexist with squatters. Well, that makes absolutely no sense to me, Pastor Drew. I know. Hang on. This is a tough lesson, but I think you're going to get it. Lesson one is going to take a bit of explaining. We must coexist with squatters. We have to start by first understanding boundaries. You have to understand boundaries before you get to this point. Now, stay with me because this is a big lesson for our faith, but let me show you the basics of boundaries that have to be understood. Here's what our life looks like. There it is. Gang, think of your life. See that yellow piece of property? Think of that as your life. That is a piece of property. That's your life. And you own that property. You own the property of your life. No one else owns it. No one else owns your life. You own your life. You're responsible for it. And on our property of our life, on the property of your life, that means you own your choices. You decide. I'll decide whether I'm going to eat fatty foods or not fatty foods. My choices. I decide how much I'll exercise, how much I won't exercise. You own your choices. You own your beliefs. I believe good things are ahead. I believe bad things are ahead. You own your beliefs. You own your decisions on your property. Make it sense? You own your life. It's your life. You own your consequences. You break the law, you own it. Don't call Pastor Drew to go to jail for you. I ain't going to jail for you. You own your feelings. I'm mad. You made me mad. No, no, no. You're mad. That's on you. It's your property. You own that you're mad. You own your values. You own your feeling, your time. You own your finances and much more on your property. God has given you your life, each and every one of us, and you are responsible for all that there is on your property. You take responsibility and you establish ownership of your property by putting fences around it. Just use those four walls around the outside. Those are fences. And you protect your property by putting up boundaries, things that you set in place. Let me give you an example. For instance, someone tries to affect your beliefs. You own your what you believe, right? Someone's going to try to affect your beliefs and get on your property, make you believe something, and tell you you're worthless. You're dumb. You're stupid. Someone's trying to get on your property and make you own that belief. But you own your beliefs, not someone trying to rob them from you. They're trying to get on your piece of property, on your life, but you have set up a boundary, a top one. The boundary of truth. The boundary of truth says, wait a minute, am I dumb and stupid? Am I worthless? The Bible says, no. I'm highly valued by God, that I was beautifully and wonderfully made. I'm sitting here tonight. I can't be stupid because I know how to live life. That's somebody trying to get on your property and own it, but you have locked them out, blocked out that property invader with a boundary of truth. Let me give you another one. Another example, how we own our lives. Someone tries to blame you for a decision they made. Okay? They made the decision. They're trying to blame you for it on your property. Remember, you own your decisions. They own their decisions. But they're trying to get you on your property. Here's how they're going to do it. You have a party, but your friend who you invited won't come. Your good friend won't come because you invited someone else who they don't like. So they boycott your party. You have your party. It goes well. The next day, the first friend, the boycotter, calls you and says, I was miserable last night, lonely, cried myself to sleep because I had nobody to be with. I had no friends because you didn't have any party. Who decided not to come to the party? You made that decision. You made that choice to not come to the party because you're like my other friend who was there. They're trying to get you to get on your property and say, no, you own that. No, you do not. That's what boundaries is. That's owning your life and that's owning your property. I could go on all night with examples about boundaries, but I think you get the basic truth. You own your property. You own the property of your life. No one else owns it. You have to protect your property. You have to protect your life with godly, effective boundaries. And you get what you tolerate, and you fix what you refuse to tolerate. That's how you work it. Now, that's how the boundaries work. Enter 2020. 2020 busted some boundary rules. In March, we found out in a big way that we will sometimes have squatters on our property. We found out that at times, our property is not solely ours. Our freedoms, our choices, our decisions are sometimes squatted on. Something steps onto our property and we have no choice. We have no power on this one. That's all. Boundaries is all about you have the power to protect your property. Sometimes you have no power. Now, if you are an efficient and you are a vigilant boundary owner of your life, if you've been doing this, we've been speaking about boundaries for 19 years. If you have established boundaries, these squatters that happen can be very frustrating for you. Very frustrating. You, as a great boundaries person, may choose, I don't want to wear a mask. 2020 said, you have to wear a mask. You may decide with your decisions, I want to go to that store. 2020 said, that store is closed. And you're not allowed to go in there. The freedom, your freedom says this. You, during this time, your freedom says, I don't want to be told. I do not want to be told by other people how many people I can have in my house. 2020 says, tough luck. We got laws, and you're going to obey them. Boundaries people short-circuited. Boundaries people short-circuited at their property being invaded. I get it. A lot of folks didn't understand what to do when their boundaries and their property got invaded by stuff that they all used to have control over, now they don't have control over. Some didn't do so hot. Others did okay. But in reality, this was a testing of our faith. We were learning a very important lesson. Lesson one. Sometimes we have to coexist with squatters. Sometimes God will put that there and you have no choice. Not talking about when you have the authority to change. That's a whole different subject. Nothing, gang, know this. Nothing we have learned about living with boundaries, nothing we have learned about owning our property has been wrong. Nothing is wrong. It was just there was more to it than the basic truths that we had down. Gang, everyone has squatters. Everyone. Even Jesus and his disciples. What? They didn't own every decision they wanted to make? Peter said, hey, Jesus, we got to pay taxes? My money, Jesus. I'm bringing in the fish, but I got to pay taxes? Jesus says, you give Caesar what Caesar's supposed to get. There's squatters on your property. Joseph, back in the Old Testament, he had to leave the nation of Egypt. The whole time, they were worshiping idols. He didn't go for that. Unfortunately, it was squatted on his property, and he's going to have to deal with it. Have to accept that, because he doesn't have the power to change that. The Apostle Paul, check this out. The Apostle Paul had to put up with, and he even had to counsel a God follower on how they were supposed to live as a slave. Slavery. Paul wouldn't be for that. That was squatted firmly in that society. Paul said, well, I'm going to have to accept it for now. Let me tell you how to work through that. All things that squat on our life and our property. Westbridge, here's the deal. We have been blessed with an unprecedented amount of freedom in the United States. We have had the privilege to own our lives. We must acknowledge and properly deal with things that though we may not want them there, but that God says, you have to allow that. One of the huge lessons in the testing of our faith in 2020 was that we had to learn to accept compulsory, or shall we say God allowed, squatters. If God allows it, we must learn to coexist with it. And we have to learn to coexist letting our light still shine. We have to learn how to coexist and still be positive. We have to learn how to coexist with what we don't want, even though God said it's going to be there. We have to learn how to let our light shine through that. Let me reiterate. I'm not talking about tolerating things you should not be tolerating. If you have the power to change something, you change it. We don't put up with nonsense in our life. God gives us the power to change it. We're smart as snakes. We can do that. But squatters are things that are outside of our authority. They're outside of our authority, so we need a different strategy with them. Enter lesson number two. Everything is what you make it. Everything. Everything is what you make it. Everything. We were all forced to endure a year of struggle, but God gave us the opportunity to learn how to go through that struggle. God put sitting squarely in a battle where we would have to learn to fight to keep our faith where it should be and even grow it. It was a battle. We had to fight to keep our faith being a grateful faith. Were you grateful in 2020? We had to fight to make that happen. That's just not natural. You got to fight. You got to fight to have a thankful faith. We had to fight to have a hopeful faith. We had to fight to have a joyful faith. And we had to fight to have a kind faith. It's so easy to be mean. This trial, 2020, what we went through, was not so much about possessing perfect faith as much as it was perfecting the faith we have. God tells us that His Spirit, the Spirit God has given us, each and every believer in Jesus Christ gets the Holy Spirit put into them. It's called a deposit of the Holy Spirit. Think of it as God putting a peach pit right in your heart when you got saved. That's His Spirit. And it's growing. It's filtering out. That peach pit, God's Spirit, His actions, His heart, His mind, is growing. And you want it to permeate your whole body, permeate everything about you. You want God's actions going through your whole body. That peach pit is filled with this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. These traits are what our faith should display. That's what our faith should display in ever-increasing measure. It should be growing all the time. Not getting smaller, it should be getting bigger. But Westbridge, it is a fight. It's a fight to cultivate these habits, to cultivate these things, to get that Spirit growing in you, to tell those things in you that need to go, no, I'm following the Spirit. And to establish God's traits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Getting those things established as your default traits. That's what you just normally are. When you don't think about it, I just do those things. Well, that's what we want. God will put us through trials to tell us that we have the power. You have the power, He's telling us, and you have the ability to grow these things and make these traits your normal mode of operation. This is just who you're going to be. You got the power to do it. I gave it to you. God's Spirit, in times of trial, we learn these aspects of God's Spirit in times of trial, but then we use them the rest of our lives in every situation. How? Everything is what we make it. Everything is what we make it. It's what you make of it. Last March began a time when none of us could come to church, right? We couldn't come to church. Squattered. Sorry. You can't go. All right. What did we do with that? What did you do with that? Because soldiers, it's going to be whatever you make it. It's going to be whatever you make it, right? Everything's what you make it. What did you do when you couldn't go to church? What did you do? What did you make of that? I know a person. Let me tell you about somebody. Somebody told me that they made their Saturday nights a movie night of watching Westbridge at 7 o'clock. This is what they told me. We put on pajamas. We would make a party of it. We put on pajamas. My husband made popcorn with extra butter. We put blankets out. We put it down. We did anything we could think of to make that night fun, but also to make it important. This person told me, you know what happened when we were sitting around the Thanksgiving table? Now, we've been back to seeing each other many different times, right? But he said, you know, at Thanksgiving, one of the highlights of the year that they brought up was their Saturday night movie night of Westbridge. It was a highlight. They said, we'll never forget it for our whole life. Because we laughed like crazy and had a great time. And that pastor group was awesome. No, I ain't that. Everything is what you make it. Everything. I remember the first video that I made during our quarantine. I was going to become, you know, I kind of do my own chosen. So I was doing my own video. So I made my own video. And I posted it on the website saying that although we couldn't do life as we had laid it out to do, we couldn't do that. We should use this time, I said, we should use this time of restrictions and all, use it to be profitable somehow. Use it as a time that is significant for you. Do something to make this time count. Well, just so you know that I practice what I preach, since my plans for 2020 had been shelved, I made new plans. I wasn't just preaching to the choir, I was preaching myself that day. Every day I decided I would set aside a few hours to do what I normally would not have done if God hadn't made this time of restrictions. So, I started cutting down trees. I cut down more trees than Paul Bunyan. I was back and cleared my property. I tore up my rotted deck, tore it up, installed brand new Trex planking. I removed the front siding from the front of my house, took it down, and I put up fake stone on the front of the house. I moved a 20-year-old electrical box that was in the wrong spot in the kitchen so Miss Kelly could finally have a hanging light that hung in the middle of the room instead of over on the side. I bought a kayak, and I took Miss Kelly out every evening to watch the sunset on Mountain Lake. Very romantic. Again, the second lesson God wants our faith to embrace is that everything is what you make it. Everything. Let me ask you, are you suffering through a bad decision you made right now? Are you suffering through one? Friend, don't tolerate what you can change. Don't tolerate that. You can make a new decision. Forget about the old decision. Make a new one. And get on the solution side of things. Everything's what you make it. Are you heartbroken? Are you lonely? Are you sad? My friend, I have been there. I have been right where you are. Let me tell you what you should do. Throw yourself into other people. Be a friend to anybody who needs a friend. Offer to go to coffee with them all. Make yourself available to anybody and everybody and just watch what God does. You'll have more friends than you know what to do with. Amen. You won't be lonely for long. God sent this trial to test our faith, and many have chosen, I've watched many West Virginians forgo the pity party, forget the pity party, and instead look for places to be the light and the life of the party of a new party. And they found a way and they did it. One of those parties happened in the middle of the summer. While many people would believe there was no possible way it could be done, Westbridge threw a nighttime baptism. Never did it before. Didn't know how we were going to do it. Didn't know we'd get a pool. Didn't know. We asked. All they did is ask. We didn't break rules. We asked. They said, you can. You're allowed. You can. And we did. It was one of the highlights of the year for me, that baptism. When many thought that God and the kingdom of God were on hold, we saw God display his power that night at that night baptism that we never would have thought of. We didn't dream that up. God sent a testing of our faith, a trial, to make that happen. But it all happened because some of our people decided everything is what you make it. And we now have a legendary story that will be told years from now in the annals of Westbridge history. Friends, from bad news and bad circumstances, from restrictions to regulations, from fear to freedom, everything is what you make it. It's a lesson God taught us through the testing of our faith and a practice we must embed deep inside ourselves. When we are not shown love, we can show love. It's what you make it. When times of harshness and difficulty come, our faith can radiate joy. When we have fears that run wild, we can exude peace and patience. When others choose meanness, we can choose kindness. When the world around us lets you down, we can be faithful to the world. else wants to do the right thing, when no one else wants to do it, we can live self-control and we can live confident the way God wants us to, because everything is what we make it. And we have our God's power. It's not willpower. We have God's power to make all these things good. Remember that peach pit inside you? That thing's filled with uranium-238. Here's what it says in Romans 8:28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. We started tonight with the statement that the world as we know it will not be the same after the COVID crisis is over. And when we read Peter's words, and that in Peter's words, that trials like this are meant to refine our faith like gold in a fire, then we certainly can say, by all those things combined, our faith, our walk with Christ, our life shouldn't be the same when this crisis is over. We shouldn't be. We didn't go through all this for nothing. God wants us to use it to make us better. Les Westbridge, lesson three, is that God wants you to come out better than you went in. Friends, God has made it plain in just four simple words, a phrase in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He wrote this: trials help us develop. Trials help us develop. He goes on. Trials grow us. Trials take us to new places. Trials strengthen our resolve. And trials cause us to get off of old courses and to head into new ones. Westbridge, God shook us pretty hard in 2020. God took us by our shoulders and he shook us. I don't know what he said to you, but here's what he's been saying to people. I'm developing you. I'm changing you. I'm fixing you. I'm showing you. Open your eyes. Accept truth. The goal of testing of our faith and refining of our spirit is to have you and me come out better than we went in. And God, with his divine ability, has something different for each one of us. He's amazing. He has a bajillion plans. They're all different. My friend Mark is on his way to South Carolina. Why? Why is my buddy Mark going to South Carolina? Well, first, this trial, this testing of our faith, it brought about enormous disruptions in my friend Mark's store that he was managing. Nothing inside his power or ability to change. He couldn't do anything about it. It was outside of his control. It was a squatter, right? Got to learn to coexist with squatters. God puts them there. You got no power to change that. It was a situation that just became a squatter on his property. So my friend Mark, he just stayed faithful. He controlled what he could, but then word came down from my buddy Mark. Your store's closing. You're out of work. No job. Got it. Now, I talked to my friend Mark when it happened. When he was in the beginning of his fight, right? He said, it's a fight. This isn't like, oh, come here, baby, share. No. This is hitching. And then he fight. He fought to have a good attitude. He fought to believe God in the face of a hurricane. He fought to let his light shine in trusting Jesus. Well, gang, for Mark, it was what he made it. Remember, everything's what you make it, right? And Mark made it good. He made it, this time of testing, he made it a time that would make him better. I talked with him this morning on the phone. He's heading south. Monday he starts his new job. He already bought a house, new house down there. Down in South Carolina, and I will tell you this, like I told him. South Carolina is being blessed. They're being blessed with a Mark that's better leaving New Jersey than the Mark that showed up at Westbridge.
Amen.
He says, you're absolutely right. Gang, this trial taught us that the testing of our faith and going through this refining fire process is not a pain-free exercise. Do not think it's going to be pain-free. It hurts. It shapes your faith. It restricts your sight. And it involves problems. Gang, God uses these problems. He uses problem times to move us. He uses problems to help us make directional changes in our life. He uses problems to point out necessary endings that have to happen. Endings we must make. Here's the key that you can memorize. Dysfunction is not having problems. Dysfunction is not having problems. Dysfunction is the refusal to acknowledge and address problems. Let me say that again. Dysfunction is not having problems. Dysfunction is the refusal to acknowledge and address them. God's refining fire and testing of our faith is all about us moving out of what is not functioning. You move out of what is not functioning. You take that, you move it, and you move it to functional life. Because when you have functional life, let me tell you when you will know you have functional life. You will find joy in your heart, even in the midst of a hurricane. You will find peace in circumstances when the world's falling apart. You will find gladness for where God has you in every breath he gives you. You will find security that God has you. And I'm doing what God's telling me to do. Therefore, I'm good. And you will find enthusiasm for life. That's when you know you're on the right path. Dysfunction is not having problems. Dysfunction is refusal to acknowledge and address problems. Soldiers, 2020 is over, right? 2020 is over. But the testing of our faith isn't finished yet. We all know that. I believe, and I think most believe, that this particular testing will probably end in 2021. It'll probably end in 2021. So we still, you know what that means? We still have opportunity. We are not done. We have opportunity. If you have compromised your values, it's time to return to your values. If you've gotten off path, if you've gotten off the path that leads to eternal life, if you've gotten off the path that leads to life to the full, if you've gotten off the road Jesus put you on, get back on it. Get back on it. If you've been putting God off, if you've been ignoring, well, I could go to church. I haven't looked at the Bible since March. If that's where you're at, there's time for you to walk up to God and say, I've missed you.
Amen.
I walked away. I miss you. I miss what you have for me. I miss the life as a follower of Jesus Christ. I miss it all. And ask for his forgiveness. When was the last time you asked for forgiveness from God? Ask him for it. I'm sure you can find something pretty quick. I know I can. Ask forgiveness. Jeremiah 15:19. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you repent, what he's talking about is, give up this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity. If you give that up, this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity, then I will restore you. I will restore you to a state of inner peace. Did you lose your peace? Here it is. So that you may stand before me, God says, as my obedient representative. Can you imagine standing in front of God? When I stand in front of God, let me tell you, I'm going to be shaking my belief. But this says we can stand in front of him
as an obedient representative.
And if you separate the precious of your faith, gold, if you separate the precious from the worthless, examining yourselves and cleansing your heart from unwarranted doubt concerning my faithfulness, if you do that, you will become my spokesman. Westbury, before we head into 2021, or even look at it, let's make sure we have heard God clearly in 2020. And that we have responded obediently. It's not enough to know what God said. It's not enough, I heard him. It's not enough to know the right thing to do. Obey him. What's he asking you to do? What steps do you want you to take? What directional move is he telling you to do? What ending, necessary ending, has to happen? Needs to happen. You got to give up. Necessary endings. 2020 has been a testing of our faith. And God says, you still have time. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Talk to God as we worship. In your heart. Just you alone in your heart. Don't worry who's around. Don't worry who's sitting next to you. Just say, you know what, Lord? Time for me to talk to you. I get it. You've been shaking me by the shoulders. And I hear you. I hear what you're saying as you shook my shoulders. Respond to
him. Lord, I pray that we would get it.
You weren't against us in 2020. You're for us.
Yes.
You're trying to grow us. Trying to make us more like you. Through the refiner's fire. Sure, it hurt. But boy, that pain is worth it. If we even get the tiniest bit more like you, then it's worth it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to end well. Help us now as we head into 2021 to actually finish this better than we went in. Learn the lessons you want us to learn. Become the people you wanted us to become. Lord, we're such a small church. And I pray that we would put a giant smile on your face.
Amen.
With the way we live our lives and the way we tell others about you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what it was. For giving us so many scriptures that tell us that we should rejoice in problems. Because you're connected to us. And after that shake of the shoulders comes the tremendous body-crushing hug that you give us, saying, well done, you got it, and you're better. And help us to use it to advance your kingdom. And by giving our lives away, we would find our life. Thank you, Lord, for 2020. Thank you for it. Help us to be people who can teach the world to say that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See you next week right here, 7:00. Love you. Well done.